No, because I think they've gotten a taste of it, at least in the preseason. I think the guys that will help them the best with that, that's going to come from veteran players, not necessarily coming from a coach. And I'm confident that the guys in the room, whether it's a Whitner, a Dansby, a Joe Thomas, those types of guys, I think will be a good resource for those rookies. Yeah, I think so. I mean, if you just watch the tape from last year, I mean, he's a viable threat, not just in the red zone. I think he's a big target that can run. I think anytime you go into a game and the opponent has a tight end like that, that's somebody that you certainly have to pay attention to. But I think it's correct to say that he would have been a focal point for most defenses, regardless. I mean, we knew a lot coming in. I mean, I have some connections in San Fran and have known about him for a long time. But he's a guy that was as advertised and then some. Just his level of buy-in, his leadership, how important this is to him. It wasn't just talk. You know, when he talked in the press conference about how important it was, not just for the Browns to do well, but for the Browns to do well in turn for the city. And you can see he's backed that up with his actions. I mean, he absolutely loves football, eats it, breathes it, sleeps it, and he makes the guys around him better. Yeah, the way he does it, it's not in a derogatory way. I mean, it's more of a pump you up, or hey, you know better, or you can't do that, and hey, that's not what we do. It's not a just getting after a guy in a negative way. So I think that's a skill. I mean, I think I've seen guys do it the other way, and it doesn't go over well. You better be batting 1,000 if you're going to be jumping on your teammates harshly. So, Ray Lewis was a lot like that in Baltimore. Ed Reed with the guys in the secondary, very very similar. But that type of leadership where guys are playing because part of the reason is they don't want to let that guy down. And if you have a guy with that type of leadership ability, I think it can be special. His level of organization, attention to detail, his adaptability. I think he's just kind of watching him formulate a game plan to go from that large volume of inventory to be able to pick out, we're going to do this and here's why. Just his, I think his detailed knowledge of defensive football, and we've had many discussions about it, is I think much further advanced than some other guys that I've been around. That if you have a great understanding of defense, that's only going to make you a much better offensive coach, and I think he's a good example of that. Yeah, he's big. He looks the part. When I talked about drawing guys, if you said draw a wide receiver, you might draw him. I mean, he's a guy that's got some length, but he does have some burst to him. But it's early. I mean, it's been a very limited sample size of what we've seen from him. But we like it. It's one of the reasons he's here. As far as the plan goes, I'm not sure how much he'll get worked in. But that definitely remains to be seen. But he's a guy that we were happy we were able to get here. Well, it's important, and that's a big part of our system. That I don't know if it'll be an all day thing. That we can kind of mix and match what we do coverage wise. I'm never a fan of kind of giving an offense just a steady diet of the same matchups and the same types of coverages. So there'll be times when he's singled. There'll be times when he's doubled. Joe will be involved with that a lot. Sometimes you won't. So it's good that when you have a guy, you have that comfort level with an elite corner that you can say, hey, he can go against this guy and feel that you can hold, that he can hold his own. Yeah, sometimes it's funny with corners. Everybody kind of has their, every corner kind of has their style that's basically like kryptonite to him. Like it was Stevie Johnson with Revis, just because of the unique way that he came off the ball. You get some corners prefer to cover guys that are higher cut, that have a higher center of gravity, so they can stay low and kind of be, use their quickness and be a half a step ahead. Sometimes it's a smaller guy. We'll give a smaller guy trouble. I mean, it's like anything else. Mostly in sports, it's about matchups, and some are some guys just give other guys more trouble than others. I just think, it's hard because I wasn't here. It's hard to say, but just from how we've changed the roster, it's been obvious that we've made a lot of changes in the secondary, specifically at corner. Brought Whitner in to complement Gibson, you know, inside linebacker, you know, drafting a Kirksey and bringing in a Dansby. The D line here was obviously one of the strengths. Was pretty deep in the outside backers. You know, offensively, you know, adding that piece to the offensive line and in Betonio, and then just also running back looking to bring in a Tate and then and draft a West, I think was important. But I just think just overall that. Just from it, we're promoting more that team concept. I mean, I like I said, I wasn't here. I can't speak on it. But I think if you want to be great as a team, that you have to learn to be a team. And that's maybe one of the reasons it goes back to the locker room question is our guys have to learn to play well together. That there's so many teams that have great individual stars but just don't win. And I think you've seen so many teams with lesser talent find ways to win week in and week out. You know, they're winning more than they lose. Why is that? And I think that's the one thing that we've pushed here from the beginning is that it's all about the team, and every decision we make and everything that we push forward will be to promote the team concept.
Correct.
Did you do that with Revis?
Yes. There were times we would just go left-right. We would go field boundary. A lot of times when teams were going faster that we didn't want to necessarily match, that we just wanted to stay on particular sides. If we felt a team had a boundary tendency to throw the ball, or we wanted to load coverage one direction and put, whether it was to the field or the boundary, and then put Revis away from that, and it was regardless of who was there, if we felt he could cover the one or the two. I just think it goes back to, you know, offensive coordinators are pretty good, and as they gather information throughout the game, I think if you settle in to a constant, you're giving them something all the time. Then they'll adjust accordingly. So I think that's part of being a good defense is mixing things up and trying to stay one step ahead. Well, I think part of it will come from a commitment. I mean, they lost some linemen in the beginning, but I think in the first game. I know the center went down, who many people widely consider, as I do, their best offensive lineman, and that's a big blow. And a lot of times it can be how a game is going. You're building a lead. If you're behind, you're going to have to throw it more. But I mean, certainly bringing in LeGarrette Blount is a signal to most that they're going to not just have Bell, but have kind of that two-headed monster at running back. And their offensive line is they're big. I mean, they're maulers. They're built to run the football. So it's something that. You know, they did it some last year, and I could see that. I see it being an increased commitment this year. We're hopeful. He feels good. I mean, we've been very aware of his repetitions and how much of a workload that he's been taking, knowing that it is a long season, and that's something that that I think will pay dividends for us in the long run. And I think just like everybody else, he's looking forward to getting out there and competing. So I think he's gotten some quality reps in the preseason, but we haven't overdone it. And in big part is so he can go out there and be fresh and productive on Sundays.